Hello, hello. I am celebrity marketing expert Lori Levine.
Hey now, I'm Lisa Levitt.
We are diehard Howard Stern Show listeners looking to connect with other female superfans. And this is the Paw Paw Podcast. I like how when we record the Paw Paw, it gives me a notification that says, recording in progress. Got it?
Got it.
Here
Don't say anything you'll regret in life.
You're recording in progress.
Here we are.
Lori. We're recording
it. Yeah.
Your drop.
Couldn't you just get, I mean, I can't get over myself. I thought like all my dreams have come true. I saw Letterman and I screamed on Kimmel and then I got on the Stern. I'm like, I'm good. You know, that's it. Bucket list.
And let's play a clip now so people know what we're talking about. So for those that are just catching up, Lori's epic call-in and Kimmel appearance is now turned into a drop that they're using on the show.
David Letterman on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
But last night you were on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
And now this morning, Howard Stern.
Did you listen to that this morning?
What did you talk about on the show? Oh, someone screamed.
We talked about you.
Minute. Someone screamed Baba Booey.
Yeah.
I mean, that's honest to Christ. Is that the man's legacy? When they finally put him in the ground, it'll be idiots screaming Baba Booey. Yes.
Howard Stern Show.
No, yeah.
Lori, oh my God, what were you feeling when you heard that?
First of all, what's amazing is that, you know, you always say like, you know, it's what's really great about the show. And I give you full credit for this because you even said it to me today, which is you can always go back and listen, right? So, you know, sometimes we get up early and then we have to stop and, you know, work and then go back, but we can listen at any time. And you and Marianne Garvey, I think you sent it in. And I was like, why? What are you sending me? And then Marianne Garvey reacted to it. I'm like, what's going on now? And I guess I just stopped listening to the show. Like I had a Zoom meeting and I had to like pause. And I was like, am I a drop?
what is happening
right now?
Stop the clock.
Yeah.
Whoa. Stop the clock.
A drop. So yeah, I mean, all I ever wanted was to be able to like, you know, Baba Booey and then call into the show. But now I feel like I'm part of Stern Show history.
You're part of the rotation.
Oh, good for you.
So yeah, I mean, it was really, listen, that Baba Booey on Kimmel was the gift that keeps on giving. If I do say so myself.
Good job.
But
good
not
you.
The most, good not, not the, good for you.
Not
the baby. Most important thing we have to talk about. My God. So as I predicted, Doc Ivan, Howard went back to the studio.
Yeah.
And he was there with Bruce. So what did you think of the Bruce Springsteen interview?
Yeah. So for someone that's not necessarily a Bruce Springsteen like super fan, I do think this was one of his best interviews. So I'll agree with Howard on this. I also think that this is one of his best interviews because they were both in the studio and both in the office.
When you say he... do you mean Bruce Springsteen?
Bruce Springsteen and Howard together in an intimate setting in the same room with the instruments set up so they could talk. And then he could walk over and be like, okay, well, this is what I was thinking when I made this song. And this is how I would lead
that
into it.
That was something, wasn't it?
It was just
him walk from place to place and then Howard doing the filler. It was so, it was like, oh, is he getting up? Is he going someplace? So there was all of this suspense, right?
Yep. Exactly. And as Howard said it as well, it really is like the sound quality, the engineering, it was amazing. It was, that studio is just so tweaked and tuned for musical performance and for guests that are their musicians. It just sounded amazing listening to it as well.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, we are slowly re-listening. So it's like a 2-hour interview. So Jan, my husband, really wanted to hear it as well. So now as we, you know, he picked me up from the airport. And then we were driving to Connecticut. So he's like, let's listen to it. And then on the way back to the city, you know, we'll pick up another piece of it and we'll put another piece of it. Now, obviously, I've heard it. So, but I'm getting emotional all over again.
Yeah.
You know, and just like, I mean, I'm going to get really dark right now. So
okay.
When he, okay, I'm a Scorpio. Mm-hmm. You know, we're both Scorpios. I don't know if you're like this, but I am epically dark. Everything is fine until it isn't. But when it's fine, it's like all very Om Shanti, you know, kumbaya. Mm-hmm. But I have this thing and this type A thing, and maybe it's also because I produce events and big things for a living. I've already produced my funeral.
Oh.
It's sick, I know, but I just want to make sure it goes down the way it should go down. And I don't want it to be a dark, heavy thing. I want it to be a celebration of life. And I want it to be the kind of thing that people will come and be like, oh yeah, this feels like a Lori Levine.
This is a Lori event.
This is what, okay. And also it's like, I don't want, you know, everyone else is going to be devastated, obviously devastated when I'm gone. So let me make your life easy. When I heard him playing the Lands of Hope and Dreams. Is that the right title? I hope I said it right. I am. Hold on. What am I saying? Let me go to my notes section of my phone. And so that when I drop, you can go, Jan, just go to the notes section of her phone and type in funeral.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The Land of Hope and Dreams is one of the songs, one of the, you know, play-ins. I know I'm sick. But it really got me. And I loved the idea that Bruce was sitting with Clarence at the end and he could feel him, you know, holding his hand and he started to play. And like, that was the way they were able to communicate. And it was just like, you know, you just want a love of anyone in this world as much as you want that kind of friendship, you know, and to be able to have that, it just really, it got me. And I thought, you know, Bruce was so able to, you know, really hit all of his nerves and get to his sensitive places and share and emote. But he was also tickled pink by Howard. He thought Howard was hilarious. And what I really loved about this interview is that the show did not change at all for Bruce. This is how it would have been if anybody had been in studio, other than the fact that, yes, Howard came back to the studio after 2 years. They still talked about poops and you know, the fact that they had to move Cocktober to one more day, and they still were promoting the Dickathlon, you know, and that is for, like, for the people who don't understand why you listen to Howard, you get all of that, but you also get 2 hours straight of one-on-one with someone like Bruce Springsteen or, you know, Paul McCartney or Madonna or, you know, Lady Gaga. You don't get that anywhere. Everyone is racing to a red light. And here we are going, we're good. Let's just hang out and see where it goes. And we don't have to edit it because it's live. We don't have to worry about it. You know, we can just relax and lay back in the cut. And like, that is what the Stern Show is for me. Don't you think?
For sure. And now that we can actually watch the full episode as well the application, like, hearing is one thing. And even for me, I was like, oh my God, this is so long. Like, I'm breaking up in pieces, but it was good. Now we can actually watch it. And when you watch it, or for those that haven't watched it, it's just a completely new element, because you can actually see how they're reacting to each other as they're engaging in this conversation.
There are so many. Just go to the clips. Go hit Howard on the Sirius app and go to clips and just let them play one after the other after the other. And it's just you're going to get if you don't have the 2 hours to sit, you're getting all of the highlights and the bits and pieces. Although I strongly suggest you listen to the whole thing.
For sure.
And then for anyone who's listening to the pod, because like, they're friends of yours or mine, like, by the way, go and listen to Howard, you know, and pick up at past episodes if you've got the Sirius app, because you're going to see him in a totally different light. You know, not that he needs our promotion, but you know, I share that only because it's like, you know, you would ask me earlier about like our favorite, musical performances, and like there are so many that I love, like Dave Grohl and doing his acoustic performance of My Hero relaunched that song, which is like, who even knew that needed a relaunch? Chris Cornell doing Imagine and doing Black Hole Sun. It's like they play them over and over again as bumpers, which I love. And then amazingly, still to this day, Cyndi Lauper, back in 1995, did True Colors and Time After Time. They still play those, and they're still so special. And then All Through the Night, which is the 2008 appearance, I was like, I can't. Like, there's, you know, you just stop. And it's funny because, like, sometimes with other shows, like, people, like, pass through, like, you know, you fast forward through that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. All of the times they play those pieces, those musical intros, you want to stop and you want to give life a moment to listen and feel and emote. And like, again, not another amazing reason why this show is so special. What were your favorite musical performances other than Bruce, obviously?
Yeah. Like, So, and again, these don't not necessarily have to be my favorite artists, although I will say anything that anytime Lady Gaga is on, she's just amazing live singer. You know, they've recently posted one on their Instagram, which was a way throwback to when Linda Perry was on.
I saw that.
And her voice, like, and you got to remember too, like, these people are performing like first thing in the morning. So their voice isn't even like tuned to be singing and they still sound great. So Linda Perry, I highly recommend people going on their Instagram and checking that one out. Not necessarily my most favorite artist, but favorite studio performances. Anytime that Miley Cyrus has been on, she just has just an amazing voice. I love her covers. And that's coming from someone that just, you know, loves rock. But to see somebody perform, it's just a whole different ballgame, especially when they're on with Howard. Again, it's Foo Fighters. Anything Foo, I listen to all the time.
I also really love when they have people on the app and they're not even on the show. Like they had Tenacious D, so they had Jack Black
and
Kyle go on and do Pinball Wizard. And and I was like, first of all, Jack Black's hilarious. He's also an accomplished musician.
Yes.
And he's great. And you have to be, you know, it's almost like he's, and go with me on this, but it's almost like he's Picasso, because Picasso had to learn everything there was about art to throw it away. Right. Like, I've seen his photorealism, which is like when he draws with a pencil and it looks so much like a photograph. You cannot believe it. That to me is Jack Black. He learned everything he needed to learn about music so he could throw it away and have fun with it. So, yeah. I mean, I don't mean to throw this segue right after Jack Black, but you know,
how do you feel about dicks?
Yeah, salacious segue. So the dick cathlon. Here's the thing that gets me about women who say like, "Oh, I don't listen to Howard. You know, he's too crass for me." It's like, first of all, you know, if you listened, you would understand that. You know, but and for the female super fans, you guys get it. But like I'd much rather them talk about dicks than talk about poop.
Because
dicks are funny. Dicks are hilarious. They look funny. They're like, and I think as women, we're also, I'm a little fascinated. I don't want dick pics. Like, don't get me wrong. But I do, like,
take,
you know,
note, Howard, Jeff the drunk.
Right, exactly. But like Howard said this the other day that he and Beth were having a conversation. He said this on air and she was like, "Well, where do you put it?" And I'm like, and he's like, "What do you mean? Where do you put your boobs?" And I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's a good point."
Yeah, you just don't think about that.
Because I think to myself, where's all the stuff? It's not just boobs, you know, like the boobs, they just sit here. You know, you can kind of, but you're not, we're not highlighting. It's not like guys wear like bras for their balls, you know? So I am fascinated by the dick and ball situation.
Hoo-ah!
That's a drop.
Yeah. I have definitely said to my husband, but where, like, you know, in a drunken moment, I'm like, where does it sit in your pants? Why do guys always have to adjust everything? Are they sticking to your legs? Like, you know,
bat wings.
Yeah. Like I kind of, you know, and obviously like there's a lot to break down with the decathlon. So let's start at the beginning with their Star Spangled Banner, Medicated Pete and Purple Vein.
Yes. Oh my God, that was hilarious. And for me, it's not necessarily about the actual act. It's me about like imagining like just the absurdness of it. And
the theater of the mind. You're trying to figure out what this looks like before they put up a clip.
And hearing people like JD like laugh and hoot in the background and laughing at them laughing and the staff playing off of it. I love that. But Purple Vein, amazing. Can we have Pete on like all the time?
So today on the show, I know we're shooting this on a Monday just because there was so much to cover off on with the decathlon and Cocktober, and how come they couldn't come up with a better name than Cockvember, and Bruce, and then the recap today. But they played some of the backstory on how they were miking Medicated Pete because they had to put a mic on his penis, and apparently he kept dropping it and then picking it back up again. And, you know, and then Robin was like, "Why don't you just put what did you have on it exactly? Was it like a baton? Was it a magic wand? Like, what was it?" And they were saying like, "Well, we couldn't touch it because in studio, you're not allowed to manipulate anybody else's private parts." Yeah. So like, then they were playing him, like them miking him and Pete saying like, well, I mean, maybe I should chub up a little so it'll fit better. And I'm like, wow, this is a lot of backstory on exactly what went down. Like, you know, I kind of, I mean, I really want to see it. I don't know if they, where they can ever, ever show it, but I do want to, I like the idea of him singing and he's like holding it and he's like, purple. And then he drops it and then he picks it back up again. And you're just like, what? For those not who are listening, I'm just manipulating my mic here to kind of make Lisa laugh. But like, why do you have to drop it? Like, he just wanted, I don't know. It was like,
you
like
old like, Elvis swingaroo. Yeah,
I know. I mean, it was too much. And then, of course, obviously, there were the actual Dick Cathalon. What do you call them? Like,
like the mini pie and the spaghetti.
No, thing? Yeah, yeah, no,
oh, the events.
The events. Thank you.
I want to call them feats of strength, but
okay, right. Okay, so the decathlon events, the decathlon feats of strength. So, yeah. I mean, let's break them down. There was the fishing.
There was the fishing, hilarious with the little magnets.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Seen? I don't. Have you seen the visuals? Like the photos.
It's, I mean, it literally looks, it looks like I can't believe it was legal.
It looks like they are like making
love,
peanut butter and jelly. Yeah, exactly.
It looks like that they are. And they were apparently one of them, I think Richard was holding on so tight. He left hand marks in Sal's tush parts. And I was just like, what this, it's just, let me just let you know right now, as funny as I find this, that would not be funny to me if my husband came back with that story. Like, this is what I did at work. Or this is what I'm like, what happened?
I don't care what your job is.
But yeah. And, or is that bachelor party stuff? Like, this is, I mean,
I liked how they had like the whole studio covered in like a protective tarp.
It's so gross. Oh, because they're going to get all sweaty.
Yes, exactly. And you could hear it when they're on it. Oh, so they had, okay. So they had that one. So they had the magnet fishing. They had, and I was trying to visualize it, and then I got to see it on the app and online. So when they were, I want to call it like the mini putt type game where they were like doing plank and then trying. Oh, to yeah. Like
when you're talking about pole in one.
Pole in one. Exactly. Uh-huh.
I didn't realize that they were going to be like on an elevated thing so that you could actually then swing
momentum
the penis so that you could hit a golf ball. And then the other person, the hole, was actually Sal laying on his back, spreading his cheeks. And the hole is so that the golf ball can hit his
taint?
Starfish.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean.
So I saw that. That was pretty graphic. And
I'll
forever remember that.
But I think this other, that the next challenge is the most genius thing. This was, I want to know who came up with this.
I'm a bad cowboy.
The pasta break.
And I was literally like almost in tears when I was hearing Gary and JD say like, we're literally touching pews right now. It's like, JD's like, don't worry, just get through it.
But I mean, it was like, I didn't realize that they were trying to do a karate chop.
Yeah.
And they kept saying like, hold it tight, hold it tight. And I'm like, what? Is, and I couldn't until I saw it on the app. I couldn't get it. Now I understand that they were holding the pasta between like, the balls and the penis shaft.
Yeah.
And then they had to throw their penis in the air and then bang it down, but just by sheer momentum.
Yes.
And there, can you explain this to me? The reason why the whole show had to start with Medicated Pete singing Purple Vein, and why did Richard and Sal need to have their penis connected via
finger trap
toilet paper holder finger trap. I just think any reason why those boys want to touch their penis tips to each other, they'll do.
I seem to recall them mentioning this maybe in a few weeks ago, saying, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we had like a trap, but then maybe I'm just imagining this.
But there was no reason for it though.
It was just so
they could have their penises kissed.
Yeah.
Through their penis holes.
Oh,
okay.
God,
I mean, okay. Yeah, listen, we're digressing in such, since
we're
analyzing
too much.
You know what? Since we're digressing, let's talk about Bobo.
Oh,
Segway strikes again. Okay. So I'm in Las Vegas for work and I put on the show and I hear them saying that they just took Sylvester Stallone, as Bobo calls him, Sly, drops. And then they call, Twitter videos. And then they called Bobo with it as if Sylvester Stallone would call him. Now, let's put it out there. When Bobo was doing his Ultimate Question, he requested to have Sylvester Stallone mm-hmm. call him to be his coach. So, and it's not like it's completely unheard of that celebrities get in touch with him, because remember Michael Rapaport and Ike Barinholtz, Fred Armisen, Jeff Probst, Andy Richter, they all called him and talked to him. So it's not completely insane that the show convinces people that celebrities are going to call them, and because
when they called him and told him, like, it sounded authentic. Like, he literally thought, like, yeah, he was excited. He thought that he was going to be talking to Sly.
And then what does he do?
You know, with your success as a brilliant actor and screenwriter, the incredible Rocky franchise that spanned for decades, it's such an honor to talk to you, you know, and and I'm very excited to see Tulsa King, your TV series on Paramount Plus, which is going to premiere Sunday, November 13th.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then what does he do?
The Jeff Probst intro again.
He does an intro about his new show, and he plugs it as if he's the host, because, you know, Bobo's got to make himself, you know, he can't just take advice and be humble. Yeah. It's got to be the Bobo show.
You see on the app, he had all his papers like laid out. He was all prepared.
And how about, this is my favorite. You need to play. You need to play the part.
He broke you.
You need to play the part where Sly says F you to him.
Yes.
And he goes,
thank you so much, Sly.
Fuck you.
Awesome. Thank you. Keep punching, buddy.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Cool. Keep punching. I'm like, he just said, okay, he just,
fuck you.
Fuck you to you. And you go, keep punching. Thanks, Sly. Thanks. Great.
Thank you.
First
thank
of all,
you.
Stop punching. Yeah. Stop calling him Sly. Right. Well, first of all, he's, and wait, and how about the part where Howard said that he talked for 15 minutes after the, I think Chris Wilding said, okay, we're putting Sly on now. We're putting Sylvester Stallone on now. And he goes, hi. And all he said was hello. And then Bobo talked for 15 minutes.
I want to hear it. I do too. I want to hear the whole
100%. I want to hear that special whole 15 minutes. I want to hear it go.
Mm-hmm. Put it on the app. Put it on the app, guys.
What could he have said for 15 minutes? Really?
Listed everything from like IMDb and Wikipedia, and it probably took him like 15 minutes. Yeah.
I mean, I can understand if you're like excited and then you realize like after 3 minutes, you're like, oh my God, I've been talking a long time. Sorry. 15 minutes? What did he have to say? Did he just wait for anything and then they decided, let's just let him go?
I like how Chris was like, you know what? Under any normal circumstances, if we were doing a bit, we would actually like prepare the pranks and make sure that there were clean cuts. Like, I'm not using them verbatim. He goes, no, with Bobo, there was zero effort. And he still thought it was real.
And then he tries to fake them out by saying like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew at the end.
Yeah,
he didn't know. He didn't know ever. He never knew until they told him that minute. He didn't know anything.
Yeah.
It's like, stop, Bobo. Come on.
See, Bobo's not so stupid.
I'm sorry. I know, Doc, you want us to feel bad for Bobo. I can't, because he does it to himself. And like, you know, and he's told every single time, don't do it this way. You don't have to do it this way.
I think regardless of the outcome, I think he had fun and he enjoyed it.
I don't think he cares. He just wants to be on air.
I think he had fun.
It keeps his cameos going.
Exactly. I was going to say, speaking of cameos.
Segway non sequitur.
Somebody else made a cameo on the show this week, mm-hmm. and by name of the Mr. Michael Rapaport came on mm-hmm. to give the Richard spanking that he deserved. What did you
mean
think
the fantasy football? Do you mean the fantasy football commissioner, Michael Rapaport?
Yes, exactly.
I thought it was ridiculous that he came in just to give him a spanking. I mean, Michael, I like that he's shameless and he'll just come and do it. And he
absolutely is
such a huge super fan. But also I kind of wanted him to wear gloves, because the way Robin was talking about how disgusting Richard's tush is, and then he's all broken out. But you know what's funny is that they went back to a past Cocktober like thing. And again, it was 2 or 3 years ago. Or maybe it was even just last year's Cocktober, and there was Richard with his broken out tush. You got a wife. Why is your wife not giving you some kind of like scrub or acne treatment for your pimple tush?
Oh, proactive, your bum buddy.
Chris Christie, you need to be taking care of his tush. But I did, you know what I really loved about Rappaport being on is that he got a really in-depth
4-minute interview.
A decent interview. Yeah. He said 4 minutes. But here's the thing. He so didn't appreciate it. And it was like and Robin said, oh, that was a really nice interview you just gave him. And Rappaport goes, yeah, the 4 minutes I got. Medicated Pete got 15, 20 minutes. I got four. Though,
he got like 4 minutes. But I did. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I also liked, if you saw this online on Twitter, and I think JD referenced it as well, how kind of Michael said, you know, I know these guys, I hear and I talk to them virtually, and now seeing them in studio, I'm awestruck, I'm starstruck. And you can see him just like taking all the different pictures and posing with everybody on staff. So yeah, you can tell he did like the experience, but it was quite hilarious.
Missed being in there because everything's been over. Now that they're back, it's like now it's almost like, you know, actually Howard ushered in a new era. That he went back to the studio once, it's like, okay, we can all go back and do stuff from inside the studio. So now they're going to the studio and they're zooming in a different way with the actual cameras that are in, which I think it just, I like them all being in the same room together because it really lends itself in a different way.
Yeah. It takes, like, I think Wilding said it best. He goes, look, I've been really, really cautious about not getting COVID, but if there was a day to get COVID, why not the decathlon? Here I am.
It's so Wilding. True. Wilding exactly. keeps his impressions just keep going and going and going. I'm ready for just like a day of, like, I'm ready for like whatever his anniversary is coming up. I don't know if it's 5 years or whatever. I'm totally ready for a Chris Wilding impression show.
Yeah.
Because he's done so many and they're so epic and he's so good, you know? Mm-hmm. But this being a crazy day of segues, we're going to seemingly get a new impression of what Robin looks like.
Yes.
Given that she is now fasting for weeks at a time, mm-hmm. and she's gone down a full G cup. She was a double G. Now she's just a G.
Big pendulous breasts.
You know, I've openly said that I've had a breast reduction twice. Mm-hmm. One first time when I was like in my 20s, then they came back. And then I had to do it again because they were breaking my back. And mm-hmm. still, my boobs are a double D.
My
body doesn't want me to not have, does not want me to have C cups, no matter what I do, whatever. But I mean, I have, even if I've lost a ton of weight, I still will always have a big D cup. I mean, 6 days, no food, just broth, water, and tea. I couldn't do it. I would literally be like spinning out of control. I don't know how she's doing it.
I do cleanses here and there and I can do them. Like I've done like the 5 days, like the lemon and stuff, mm-hmm.
You mean the master cleanse?
Yeah. Like a version of the master cleanse, but also too supplemented with like vegetable juices and like beet juices. So at least you're getting some sort of fiber and caloric intake.
She said, I don't know if I can do pooping.
Oh my God.
No exit strategy.
Yeah.
Just pee. Oh my God. I don't know. I couldn't do it. It was
has enough reserves. But yeah, for me, like after a couple of days, you start to feel a little like loopy there. So 2-3 days max. And then I need to have some sort of
system. I'd start dreaming of pudding. Yeah. I need my sugar-free pudding. I just need my sugar-free pudding. I wanted to talk about what's all over the news today. As we kind of close up today, which is the fact that Drake dropped all of these deep fake interviews, but not only deep fake interviews, videos, and he also dropped that he was on the Little Desk music series, you know, and I think it's really epic that he chose Howard as his deep fake interview because it was just, again, it gave him minutes.
What type of porn are you watching? What is your thing?
It's top.
Wow. Holy shit.
Highest tier of top givers. That's really what I'm.
And what about love? I mean, could you ever commit to one woman?
Yeah.
Be married. You could be married.
I want to hear his answer.
I'm sure I could, you know? Like, I think that eventually, once all this is said and done for us, and right. that addiction of work and success and forward movement is over, I feel like we're all going to need something real. Hopefully it's not too late.
Okay.
To show an interview and like it makes sense and he was able to cut it up. But
I think he used the Gerard Carmichael interview as the one that he kind of spliced up to kind of do that deep fake.
Not all of it though, because he asked about getting married. So, but yes, a lot of the, a lot of Gerard's interview, but can you go over like exactly how he pulled that off? Because I know, you know, you're a tech wizard and I don't, I mean, I understand deep fake is like a thing, but I don't, is it a program that people like, you know, and obviously people are worried about it because you're manipulating video to make it, this is something different. This is not like where you're deep faking.
I think a true deep fake would be like if you've seen online like the Tom Cruise deep fake where they use
the Bill Hader Tom Cruise deep fake
or they use artificial intelligence to map out the characteristics of a face and then as like just like filters as you or I could be on filters right now we could have like a cat face or whatever so that could impersonate somebody as a deep fake. What they've done for the Drake interview is literally just taken a bunch of previous interviews and kind of cobbled together a Howard Stern interview, but with their own video footage. So where I would say the studio interview or not being in this or not being in the studio right now, the Zoom interviews actually benefited them because it was a lot easier for them to splice something together because you could literally voice and just focus on Drake as the content itself. So it worked quite well for that particular one.
I thought it was really fascinating and I love that Drake chose Howard for it versus like having to do it like on like a Today Show or like The View? Whatever. Could you imagine? But it was just that people were, you know, getting in touch with me saying, oh, that's so cool. But like, then there's also a piece of me that's like, you're not a fan.
Well, like, the background, we know better. Like, oh, they really jazzed up the quality of the cameras that they're using in studio.
I know. You said it was like, it looked like a movie. I'm like,
it was movie theater production. I'm like, that's not their normal quality cameras that they use. But they have great cameras, but this was like Netflix.
Yeah, totally. It looked amazing. And that's when I was like, all right, you're going to have to explain the deep fake.
Yeah. Just literally cobbling together a bunch of interviews and they shot it really well and it had a really good flow. Like it looked like it was a real interview. So it was really
totally
brilliant marketing.
How about Howard going, how can I do that? I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do any promotion.
Can you imagine all the interviews that he has right now, even the old Howard TV days? And you know, this might be like the future of AI. Like, you know, when they have holograms of like Tupac Shakur and all the different artists, maybe in the future, 100 years from now, we'll have Howard hologram Howard interviewing the celebrities of the future
instead of Hollywood Harmeyer. It's hologram Howard.
Exactly.
Well, on that note, Lisa, you said it all.
You said too much.
You said a lot.
Indeed.
How do people get in touch with us if they would like to come on the Pop Pop Podcast? I think it's time for us to have some more guests, don't you?
Yeah, for sure.
If you'd like to listen to more episodes of the Pop Pop Podcast, visit our website at thepoppoppodcast.com. Or if you're interested in being a guest, email us at contact@thepoppoppodcast.com. Disclaimer, the Pop Pop Podcast is no way affiliated to the Howard Stern Show. We are a tribute podcast run by fans for fans.